Box number 275, Glivet. And you? Yeah, you are definitely the most hated person on Earth.
What? No, no, fake news. It's a hoax. Benghazi! My poll numbers are higher than anyone ever in the history of the world. I'm the perfect leader. Just look at all the awards I claim I've won. And the gifts. Tremendous gifts. The best gifts. Everybody loves Trump. No one has done more for my bank account, I mean for the American people, than Trump. We don't need elections. No more elections. I can run everything from anywhere, and I should be crowned king of the universe.
Well, crown him then.
Huh? What's that? What's that whistling sound? Oh, no, you can't.
Right there. A coronation I look forward to. Yeah. Hello, friends, and welcome in to this, the 275th edition of a Fusebox hastily titled Blivet. And as always, we'll explain the show title momentarily. For now, right now, in this very moment right now, I'm your utterly contaminated but completely safe for newborns host, Mark Rose, and over there, just a hair shy of a skosh, is a man who clearly knows a blivet when he sees a blivet. The unabashed baron of blown fuses.
Oh, brother.
Milk canes, everybody.
Oh, well, thanks a blivetful. Oh, man. Just when you think that everything's gone about as damn low as it can go on the crepometer, low goes another level lower. I think the whole world is blowing fuses over the unmitigated and ongoing absolute elephant crap going on out there right now.
Oh, yeah, I see what you did there, too. But yes, it's a seemingly endless nightmare, I'm afraid. The bald-faced lies, the continued gaslighting, the clear and terribly obvious signs of mental decline, and all of it, without any accountability so far as anyone can see. Our show title, Blivet, by the way, is a word for, and I'm quoting here, something useless that is crammed into a space that doesn't fit.
Well, just like the Orange Commander in Thief, I'd say, bro.
Or a bunch of sweat-stained, jackbooted, out-of-control, and trigger-happy ice goons.
You know what? Speaking of that, I gotta say, I was watching this live stream the other day from Minnesota, and
yeah,
hey, you know what? Maybe a Fusebox shout-out is in order to these guys.
Yeah,
I think so. They're called the... I see you still got that itchy trigger finger, don't you?
I so love my new audio toy.
Well, as I was saying, these cats called Status Coup have got boots on the ground, right smack dab in the middle of all those mouth-breathing ice losers who are dishing out all that Gestapo-style abuse. This Status Coup group is actually covering the ice protests from the front lines, bro. Fucking awesome.
Well, and you know what? It's frigid over there.
Yeah.
In the Twin Cities. So, brave folks, for sure. Just dealing with life-threatening cold temperatures on top of facing whatever potential physical encounters they may have with Trump's armed fascist goon squad.
It was -7 degrees the night I was watching.
Whoa.
These folks were parked across the street from the Whipple Federal Building where Trump's ICE Gestapo are stationed.
7 below 0. Ugh, no
thanks. And you know what? The real joke is that legacy news media were parked way, way down at the far end of the street where nothing was happening, and I'm sure that was exactly what they were reporting to. Nothing to see here, folks. Keep it moving.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the real group of protesters was getting pepper-bombed, gassed, and snatched up into black unmarked vans.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were dragging people out of the crowd and into the federal building there where they'd be, held for several hours and then released.
Yeah.
And only then could the hostages, abductees, tell the crowd and the media how they'd been treated while being unconstitutionally held against their will. And of course, you could imagine their horror stories they told.
First and Fourth Amendment rights to peacefully gather and express discontent, friends, is a right we are all entitled to here in the U.S.
Which doesn't include being abducted off the street or out of our homes or places of business and made to disappear for hours or even days.
Yeah, it's simple human rights, friends. So it's truly horrific out there. But you know what the flip side of the horror is?
Yeah, that right-minded people aren't going to take this shit anymore, dude. That's what.
Exactly. And no matter what new war the pedophile-in-chief threatens to start, friends, in this country, we all have our eyes clearly focused on what's going on for real. Because the vast majority of us, we know the difference between right and wrong.
Amen, bro. Like the 5 million Trumpstein files. The gutless GOP that would rather see their personal fortunes increased than serve their constituency who elected them. Of course, you know, the pathetic thing is that probably half their constituency is perfectly fine with their Trump-supporting elected officials lining their pockets. And the other half are too stupid to notice.
Sad but true. More about all of this as we continue, friends. We'll have a segment of Lying Liars That Lie coming up that features one of our favorite vapid and completely vacant heads of security, plus all sorts of this and that-ism. So stay with us, if you dare.
You really should oughta. Lying Liars That Lie is part of a healthy and well-balanced meal.
Wouldn't it taste great to you right now?
Just want to take a pause in the proceedings here to let you know about our friends at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine, the premier source of all things Grindhouse. In issue number 2, one of my all-time favorite guilty pleasures, a film called Street Trash, directed by Jim Murrow, is featured in great detail by a guy who should know. He was in it. Mike Lackey, who played Fred the Bum in this glorious melt movie from 1987. A mysterious beverage appears on Skid Row called Tenafly Viper, and when consumed has, shall we say, a disastrous aftertaste. In glorious, oversaturated color. It's what makes Grindhouse Resurrection a valuable resource, friends. Articles written by the folks who were there, and like in Mike's case here, were a part of it. 96 pages of glossy goodness in each issue and not a speck of cereal. Check it out in the link in the show description. Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
And ready or can't, we're back.
Hey, can I mention a thing?
Is it one thing or is it two things? Didn't know there was going to be math.
You know, I hate thinking. Okay, it's one thing.
Oh, okay. Well, then fire away, sir.
Okay. Well, then here's my one thing. Ready?
Yeah.
I just want to take a minute here to toot your horn.
Mine?
Yep.
My horn? Does my horn need tooting? Well, on behalf of my horn and myself...
And a fine horn it is, even if it's sort of bent. But no, I just wanted to congratulate you on the new album. It's called Kyle Gaust's Transcription, folks. Way cool, bro. And I saw what you did there with the word transcription.
Did you see what I did there? Well, thank you very much for that, Mr. Keynes. Yeah, I was...
Gonna totally forget to plug your own damn album, right? That's why I'm jumping in here. Folks, if you dig deep listening stuff, this thing will be right up and down your alley, I promise. It's awesome.
Well, thank you again, Mr. Keynes. That's very nice of you, and I'm thrilled that you like it. Yeah, I was definitely going to put a mention up on the website about it, but since you let the pangolin out of the bag... Yes, friends, I just finished an album that has been in the works for, well, rather truly embarrassing amount of time, really.
Right, but didn't you have some kind of like a drive failure or some other weird unexpected technical snafu?
Yeah. I see. I started this project actually in 2008, where it sat quietly for 6 years, and then I got back to it. Added some more stuff and crap like that and crap and stuff. And well, the thing sat for another couple of years. And then a dear and brilliantly talented friend of mine, Gumby Ortiz, who has been a percussionist for jazz guitarist Al Di Meola for decades, added some really cool stuff to a track I sent him. By the way, it's a hoot to work with him. Gumby's amazing. Anyway, it sat again, and one more again, for 2 more years. And then, yeah, the drive crashed.
Or so you thought, right?
Well, you know, it was just one of those odd things that happened. For some reason, I just got the notion to try the drive in one of those reader gizmos. You know, it's just a device that reads bare drives. It's not an enclosure or anything. You just pop the drive in the top of this thing, and if there's anything there, it'll spin up.
And much to your surprise,
it actually spun up. All the files were there, so I quickly archived them off to several places just in case, and then decided to finally finish the thing. So, long story even longer, I finished the album, and once again, it sat for yet another couple of years. Because, you know, I knew it needed some tasteful mastering by qualified ears other than mine, which were all too familiar with every nanosecond of the content. So, I found a source. But it was going to be a tad too pricey, and I decided to hold off as there were other more pressing financial considerations at the time.
You mean like buying metric ton lots of peanut butter for the Japanese pocket squirrels?
Peanut butter! Yay!
Well, that and other things. But it was late last year that I was talking with dear friend Gregory Wilson, who you often hear doing liners on Fusebox, kind of like...
The world's hottest new golf course is Greenland, where it's so white, you'll never find your balls. TheFuseboxShow.com.
Kind of like that one right there.
Yeah, exactly, Mr. Keynes. Anyway, Gregory asked me one day how the album... was coming along. He knew I'd been sitting on this thing for what seemed like forever. And
17 years, to be exact.
Yeah. Bro. 17 years. Anyway, I decided, you know what? It's time to get this record finished. So one thing led to another, and I found a great disc and a mastering house called Atomic Disc, which I highly... recommend, friends, if you're doing projects like this. So my long time buddy and sometimes partner in crime, the lovely and talented Mr. Gerald McQuinn, did the amazing, wonderfully disturbed, and spectacular artwork for the album cover, and voila. We have Kreil Gaust's transcription.
Now, this project, it goes all the way back to your old radio show, right? Dry Smoke and Whispers?
Yeah, right. Kreil Gaust was the show's composer for all of those wonderfully demented interdimensional episodes. And I wanted to keep transcription in the world that it originated from.
Yeah, that's really cool, Padron. I mean, yeah, deep listening for damn sure.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Milt. Yeah, it was a long time coming, and it feels really great to have it in the can, as they say. And for those of you who are interested in such things, a link in the show description here is provided, so please check it out. Let me know what you think.
And now...
Lying liars that lie.
Well, we both have something to add to this segment.
And we start with that cosplaying criminal, Department of Home Security Secretary Gestapo Barbie herself. Ugly inside and out. Christy Noem, who starts the gaslighting with an attempted spin of the murder of Renee Good that happened in Minnesota recently. The video of which... of course, we've all seen many, many times.
And from every angle possible, and I do mean every angle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, this hollow-eyed subhuman meat puppet, Christy Noem, says this about Renee Good's car.
Showed that this officer was hit by her vehicle, she weaponized it, and he defended his life and those colleagues around him and the public.
I don't know about you folks, but Renee Good was clearly... and slowly backing up, attempting to go around the quote-unquote officers. She was non-confrontational, she was unarmed, and she was not weaponizing her SUV.
No, not at all. And as we've seen in this video, at one point, she even says to her murderer, Jonathan Ross, who, by the way, has gone into hiding, "I'm not mad at you." The last words she, Renee Good, uttered on this earth before Jonathan Ross shot her 3 times in the face at point-blank range.
She's got her dog in her car. The back seat's crammed with her kids' stuffed animals. I mean, for crying out loud. Really, Ross? This woman, a wife and a mother, is slowly pulling away and you shoot her 3 times in the face. Wow, man. Wow.
Yeah, she had just dropped her kid off at school only a few minutes before being murdered. And not, as stated by Krusty Christy, the dog killer, that she, Renee Good, had been hanging around for hours interfering with Gestapo ICE's procedures.
Dude, seriously, there's a special place in hell for Jonathan Ross. Anyway, then we get this, the attempted hospital con.
The ICE officer, fearing for his life and the other officers around him and the safety of the public, fired defensive shots. He used his training to save his own life and that of his colleagues. He was treated at a local hospital, has been released, and is now with family.
Well, now that was definitely a lie, too, there. The quote, officer, according to transcripts from ICE itself, clearly stated that this guy, this murderer, this Jonathan Ross, was still on the scene for up to 38 minutes, walking around just fine, by the way, then was taken to the federal building, better known as ICE HQ. No hospital visit was reported, or for that matter, corroborated by any local facility.
Yeah, they were saying something about...
CBS was saying.
Right. The see the BS now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No internal bleeding, no injury of any kind, no... nothing. And the video clearly shows no contact with Ross was made by Renee Good's vehicle. It's as clear as the lies coming out of Christy Noem, Trump, and the entire Republican Party that this was another pathetic and transparent attempt to spin Renee Good's murder into sympathy for Jonathan Ross, the person who murdered Renee Good.
Exactly. CNN news anchor Jake Tapper tries to get to the reason why Jonathan Ross fired 3 point-blank shots into Renee Good's face.
So you see how quickly the situation unfolded, how the officer was in front of the vehicle when she sped off, how she ran into him, and how he had to take quick action based on his training to defend himself and his colleagues.
In truth, a, quote, fleeing suspect is never supposed to be fired upon unless they have committed a violent crime in the process. And I'm sorry, trying to avoid an assault from a masked pseudo-cop who is clearly fighting some form of PTSD or is just another impotent little man who feels powerful because he carries a badge and a gun is not an assault.
Exactly. Tapper then asked her to explain that, since it happened, in her words, very quickly, suggesting that perhaps the victim's speed was ill-advised. Like it was Renee Good's fault she got shot 3 times in the fucking face.
Are you saying that the second and third shots, because you just said it happened very quickly, are you saying the second and third shots?
I didn't say anything at all. I said watch the videos.
Sorry, Noam, but you clearly did say that, you absolute psycho.
So you see how quickly the situation unfolded.
Don't believe your lying ears, Mr. Kane.
Up is down, black is white, hate is love, the sky is argyle.
Pangolins and aardvarks living together. But look, if their lips are moving, you know they're lying like a Florida con man. But let me add to that. I've got one too. And it's not related to the sad and lawless events in Minnesota, but it is despicable nonetheless. So we're all aware that the demented orange glob of slop in the White House slapped his name on the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts with no authority at all to do so, by the way.
Yeah, that stroked out dirtbag really thinks he's a king.
Well, as you've no doubt heard by now, dozens of performers have canceled out of their performances due to the ridiculous and self-serving Trump realignment of the center's administration.
Damn straight. And good for them for pulling out, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but one such cancellation, which was delightful to watch, was from Stefan Schwarz, the renowned composer and lyricist of Wicked, Godspell, and Pippin. He was supposed to host a gala fundraising event for the Washington National Opera in May of this year.
Which was also canceled.
Yes, exactly. So Schwartz said that the Kennedy Center, quote, was founded to be an apolitical home for free artistic expression for artists of all nationalities and ideologies. Today, Schwartz said, not making an appearance at the Kennedy Center, quote, has now become an ideological statement.
True that.
Richard Grinnell, the MAGAnoid spokesman of the Kennedy Center, instantly became flushed and childishly petulant and wrote on X.
The forum for losers.
Yeah. Definitely head on over to Blue Sky instead, friends. So Mr. Grinnell said in the aforementioned petulant frenzy, the Schwartz news was a bogus report that was fake and came from Rolling Stone magazine, which was lying. So NBC News and Variety refuted this here claim and brought the receipts. Screenshots showing Schwartz was promoted on the Kennedy Center's website prior to his cancellation.
Yeah, give it the pig wind, brother.
Everything they say
is a fucking lie. Well, but like you say, at least we know if they're talking, they're lying.
Yeah. But you know, can I leave you with this disgusting visual?
Disgusting?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bring it.
Oftentimes, perhaps more than is healthy. I picture these MAGAnoid sycophants as tiny, sweaty, boil-infested, yammering cartoon heads, each one perched at the end of an oily tentacle that stretches way, way back and connects to the bloatacious butt of that demented pedophile-protecting orange scum clod occupying the Oval Office.
Nice. But what do you really think? And, can I have some of whatever you're smoking over there? You know, for a friend.
Oh, please. Help yourself. And on that smoky, hazy note, We'll call it a show, friends, but not before thanking our contributors to this edition of Fusebox, L. Stanger and Gregory Wilson. And of course, where would we be without the Admiral of Amplitude, Milt Keynes, for technical assistance and co-hostery-nessment?
True slice of gravy, man. And hey, if you get a chance out there, check out those folks at Status Coup and maybe give them some love. We got a link in the show description. And you can do the very same for us. Head over to our Patreon page and sign up to become a Fusebox member.
It surely does help us, friends. It'll get you a free Fusebox swag, early show releases, and exclusive content so gosh dang super secret that we're not allowed to even think of it in certain states.
Is Oregon one of those states?
Possibly, but I think the state of inebriation might be one for sure.
Well, I've lived in that state most of my life, bro.
Patreon.com/TheFuseBox Show will get you where you want to be, friends.
Thanks as well to the ghastly good and gooey folks at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their continued confidence in this here show. Find out about them at 42ndStreetP.net.
And if you're feeling kind of recklessly frisky with a side order of impulsive sass, please be sure to visit our store at thefuseboxshow.com and click on the old swag button there at the top. You'll be overwhelmed with the glorious and glamorous goodies emblazoned with the custom art of our colleague in audio crime, Jeff Pollard.
Come on, who wouldn't want a genuine Fusebox whiskey mug or a hoodie or t-shirt from Suicide Sally's or Dick's Hardware? Want it but don't have it? Then you need Dick.
And who would know better than Dick? Good golly, gumdrops. No one I can think of, that's for sure.
Oh, Fusebox is the tits.
It sure is, Timmy. It sure is. Friends, as always, we thank you, too, for pushing play. We do so appreciate you all for sharing your time with us. And I've been your host, Mark Rose, saying until our next cartoon. But before we sign off, friends, Milt and I have just learned, as of this taping, that ICE, and by extension, Kristi Noem, Donald Trump, and Republican members who continue to lick the boots of Trump, has claimed the life of another victim.
Unfucking-believable.
I know. There are just no words at this point. But here's what we know so far, which isn't very much, but it's important because we know his name. The latest murder victim at the hands of ICE is 37-year-old Alex Jeffrey Preddy, who is, well, was an intensive care unit nurse who was filming the protests there in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is where Renee Good was murdered, of course. Again, friends, fuller details will continue to come out over time, and along with it, of course, the GOP's attempt to spin this event. But what we understand now is that the latest murder victim at the hands of ICE, Alex Jeffrey Preddy, was shot multiple times, and apparently by more than just one agent. Friends, please be safe out there if you're protesting, or I guess I should say, be as safe as you can be. This is still the United States of America, where we are free to exercise our First Amendment rights. Unfortunately, right now in our history, there are very, very dangerous, actually armed and dangerous, extremely unstable people out there who are doing everything they can to take those rights away from us. We should and must continue to fight for our rights. But please, do so peacefully. And again, be safe. Rest in peace, Renee Good and Alex Preddy. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Amen, bro. Amen.